A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Welcome to another edition of Bearing Arms, Cam and Company. My name is Cam Edwards. Glad you're with me on the program today. So we were scheduled to speak with the head of this new organization in Missouri, the Missouri Sheriff's Constitutional Firearms Alliance. Unfortunately, the head of the Missouri Sheriff's Constitutional Firearms Alliance is a county sheriff. And, you know, sometimes when you schedule an interview with law enforcement, they've actually got to go out and enforce the law. So we will hopefully be talking with the Douglas County Sheriff next week on Bearing Arms, Cam and Company about this new organization and what they are hoping to do. But we do actually have a story out of Missouri that we're going to be talking about today. The headline from St. Louis Magazine, Judge Shoots Down St. Louis Gun Law. Now, Missouri has firearms preemption in place. So it's the state legislature that sets the body of gun laws, right? So there's a uniform code of gun laws throughout the state. You don't have special laws in St. Louis, special laws in Kansas City, special laws in Jefferson City, Joplin, wherever, right? One standard that applies statewide. Gun control activists hate this, and they've been taking aim at preemption all across the country, right? They've actually undone it in Colorado, but the vast majority of states, and they've weakened it in several others, but the vast majority of states across the country actually do have firearms preemption law in place because it makes sense. Right. I mean, if you're driving, I mean, listen, I live in Virginia. There are, 120 different counties. I don't know, you know, how many independent cities. But it would be so dangerous, if not legally impossible, for me to exercise my Second Amendment rights if the law varied from county to county. If driving from Farmville, Virginia to Richmond, Virginia, I had to know and understand the laws of, you know, four or five different counties, it'd be way too easy to trip up lawful gun owners and charge them with a crime. Gun control activists, of course, they see that as a feature, right? Not a bug. They want to be able to trip up legal gun owners. They want to be able to make it more difficult for them to exercise their Second Amendment rights, which is one of the reasons why they want to undo preemption. They also want to undo preemption so that Democrat-run cities can pass very restrictive gun control laws that wouldn't fly in red states like Missouri. So there was a statute on the books, I guess, is a statute in place, at least for now, that required people who stored firearms in their cars to store them in a locked, out-of-sight container. On Tuesday of this week, Judge Joseph P. White ruled that the ordinance runs afoul of the state preemption law. White's order, according to St. Louis Magazine, was born from a lawsuit filed last November by city resident Michael Roth, challenging both the unattended vehicle ordinance as well as one that required people to report any theft of a firearm to police within 48 hours. As St. Louis Magazine reports, the month before the lawsuit's filing, Roth's 9mm pistol was stolen from his car while he was attending Sunday Mass at a church in the city's Central West End. When he reported the theft to police, as he was required to do, they then cited him for not having his gun in a locked container, which raises some Fifth Amendment implications too, right? You do have the right not to incriminate yourself. Well, if you have to report the theft of a firearm to police, and yet police are going to charge you for how you stored your firearm, do you have to report that to police? Judge White did not get into the particulars of that argument. Instead, again, ruling that St. Louis's ordinance was prohibited because of the state's firearm preemption law. Roth's attorney, Matt Vianello, had told St. Louis Magazine that the state legislature has the authority on guns for good reason. He said they need to be uniform across Missouri so people aren't, quote, subject to different rules just because they crossed a street. Exactly. Attorneys for the city, though, argued that the prohibition on cities and counties regulating guns was hardly all-encompassing and that state law acknowledges several ways that municipal governments can pass ordinances directly pertaining to firearms. There are very, very limited carve-outs. There is really not much ability for municipalities to pass any kind of gun control measure. In fact, I'm just going to look it up here so I can read you the text. Now, I will say that St. Louis is not the only locality that is doing this. We're also seeing this in Kansas City, Missouri, Jackson County, I believe, where they've passed an ordinance, which is also being challenged in court. I believe Gun Owners of America is challenging this. That law or that ordinance prohibits, I believe it's adults under the age of 21 from possessing semi-automatic rifles. All right, so Missouri law, let me make sure that I've got this right. Here we go. Yeah. No county where the General Assembly hereby occupies and preempts the entire field of legislation touching in any way firearms, components, ammunition, and supplies to the complete exclusion of any order, ordinance, or regulation by any political subdivision of this state. No county, except, by the way, is provided in subsection 3 of this section, which says that nothing contained in that section shall prohibit any ordinance of any political subdivision which conforms exactly with any of the provisions of another section of Missouri Code which regulates the open carrying of firearms readily capable of lethal use or the discharge of firearms within a jurisdiction, provided such ordinance complies with the provisions of blah, 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 blah. Which has a self-defense exception. No ordinance shall be construed to preclude the use of a firearm in defense of person or property subject to the provisions of Chapter 563. So, municipalities can prohibit the open carrying, or at least regulate the open carrying of firearms. But that's about it. They don't have the authority to regulate how guns are sold, how guns are transported, how guns are stored, right? And that's exactly what the St. Louis ordinance was about, how guns are stored. So the city had an argument. It just wasn't a good one. Now, as St. Louis Magazine reports, the requirement to report the theft of a firearm to police remains in place. But Roth's attorney tells St. Louis Magazine that really his client only took issue with that because it interacted with the unattended vehicle ordinance. His argument being that anybody forced to report the theft of an unattended firearm from a vehicle was, in essence, being forced to incriminate themselves. But with the unattended vehicle ordinance no more, that point is now moot. St. Louis Magazine does report that the Metropolitan Police Department says that even with the ordinance no longer in effect, police don't want people leaving guns in their cars, regardless, as thieves searching for guns is the primary driver of car break-ins. Spokesman Mitch McCoy says, if you know that you're coming to downtown and you're not able to bring your firearm inside, leave your firearm at home, because we know that's primarily what individuals are looking for. Well, how about... I don't disagree with that, by the way. I'm sure, as far as that's what criminals are looking for. My problem, though, is that if you tell people, hey, listen, if you're going downtown to a high crime area, you know that you cannot bring your firearm inside the location where you're going. Just leave your gun behind. Don't even bother taking it. I disagree with that. Now, should you store your firearm in a place where it's not readily visible from the street? Absolutely. I mean, don't make your gun an inviting target for thieves. But the real issue here are gun-free zones. And if you don't want people leaving their vehicles or leaving their guns in their vehicles unattended, don't make them leave their guns behind. We need to be getting rid of these gun-free zones. And unfortunately, Missouri still has several of them, including public transportation, by the way. That's something that lawmakers have been working on the past couple of years, but they have so far been unable to muster the support needed to repeal the prohibition on lawful concealed carry on public transportation in St. Louis, in Kansas City. So, you know, if you're driving to the bus station or driving to the train station, I guess, and you're going to ride the light rail in, you can't protect yourself. But if you want to be able to protect yourself in that parking garage by having access to a firearm, at least in your vehicle, again, I don't think it should be a crime to leave your firearm locked up in that vehicle, even if it's visible. I just think it's common sense. Put it somewhere where it's not going to be an inviting target for thieves. But that is a separate issue than the city of St. Louis trying to impose and enforce laws that it has no authority to put on the books in the first place. And I'm glad to see that the judge rejected St. Louis's argument here. I suspect the same is going to be true in Jackson County regarding its ordinance that's been challenged. And that was essentially done over the objection of the county executive. He said, this is going to invite a lawsuit. It's a lawsuit we can't win. It's going to waste a lot of taxpayer money. City Council overrode his veto of that ordinance and basically did so that they could bring a challenge to the preemption law, hoping that they'll get a friendly judge to come out and say that the state legislature doesn't have the authority to impose that uniform set of gun laws across the entirety of the state. I don't think that's going to happen. I would eat this hat if the Missouri Supreme Court said that the state legislature doesn't have the authority to do so. So it is a waste of taxpayer dollars. It is a waste of time. And again, it does nothing to stop violent criminals who aren't obtaining their guns legally, aren't carrying their guns legally for the most part, and certainly aren't using their guns legally when they commit a carjacking, an armed robbery, or a unjustified homicide. So I am glad to see that there is some good news out of St. Louis here. And hopefully we've got more good news coming out of the Kansas City area in the days and weeks ahead. All right, on to today's Armed Citizen story, our good deed of the day, and our recidivist report. We'll start there with a case out of Louisiana. Here's the headline. Pair involved in Baton Rouge club shooting that wounded 12, except plea deals, get probation. Yeah, the Advocate newspaper says that the last two men who were involved in a brazen shooting at a Baton Rouge nightclub that wounded 12 people have pleaded guilty to reduced charges. Jashawn Malik Jackson, who's 21, and 24-year-old Sanchez Amir Lamar both confess that they helped sneak two pistols into the Dior Bar and Lounge early on the morning of January 22nd, 2023. They passed the guns off to two of their friends, who then minutes later started shooting towards the club's dance floor. 12 people shot, three of them critically injured. Thankfully, none of them died from their injuries. All four defendants have now had their cases adjudicated. Nikhil Marquis Franklin and Jerron Hines, who are the two who are accused of actually pulling the trigger. Franklin, who's 21, ended up pleading guilty to four counts of attempted first-degree murder back in June. He was sentenced to 20 years without the possibility of parole. Hines took the same deal and got the same sentence on July the 1st. He's now 19, but he was 16 the night of the shooting. Prosecutors were able to try him as an adult. So 20 years, no possibility of parole. That's fine. Jackson and Lamar, though, both pleaded guilty to single counts of aggravated battery. Prosecutors dismissed 12 counts of attempted first-degree murder in exchange, and District Judge Brad Myers sentenced both of these individuals to 10 years in prison, but deferred the entirety of that sentence and instead placed Jackson and Lamar on probation for 3 years as part of the plea deal. Arguably, should Jackson and Lamar have been sentenced to the same 20 years without the possibility of parole as the guys who actually pulled the trigger? Probably not. But would that shooting have happened without Jackson and Lamar supplying these shooters with the guns that they used? I don't think so. So the disparity in these sentences to me is just really too extreme, right? On the one hand, the people who pulled the trigger, 20 years, no parole. On the other hand, the two guys who supplied the guns that were used in the shooting, 3 years probation. How about the 10-year prison sentence that the judge originally imposed and then deferred? How about that? That seems to be some middle ground. But unfortunately, that is not what the judge concluded. And the two of the four individuals who were responsible for this shooting, at least to one degree or another, not going to have to spend any time behind bars for their crime. All right, on to today's armed citizen story from North Carolina, York County, where deputies say a shooting at a Dollar General was self-defense. It sounds like the Dollar General was just sort of the general location. It didn't happen between a customer and a manager or anything like that. The 69-year-old who was shot, Joseph Lewis, allegedly made threats and punched a driver, according to deputies. The 25-year-old driver, who is legally allowed to carry a firearm, then shot Lewis in self-defense. Lewis passed away at a local hospital. Neighbors say the incident started because of a dispute over Lewis's dog, according to a WSOC in Charlotte, but the York County Sheriff's Office has not confirmed that. They haven't said anything about what led up to the shooting, other than the fact that the 69-year-old Joseph Lewis was the aggressor in this incident, threatening and then punching the 25-year-old armed citizen who had a legitimate fear of death or great bodily harm at that point. We'll see if we can get any more details on that case. We really don't have a lot of information, and hopefully more details will be forthcoming, and we can report that to you maybe early next week here on Bearing Arms Cam and Company. Finally today, our good deed of the day in the right place at the right time will enable to do the right thing. A good Samaritan in Connecticut who ended up jumping into the water to rescuing a boater and a dog after their vessel had overturned. I mean, this was pretty scary, honestly. Rocky Hill, Connecticut. Police and fire crews from Rocky Hill responded to Ferry Park on Tuesday afternoon and found that a small boat in the water had overturned. The boater was in the water, holding onto the stem of a nearby boat. Officials learned that a dog was trapped underneath the overturned vessel as well. It was about 200 feet from the dock, so it wasn't easy to get to. There was a Good Samaritan, though, who was on another boat nearby. And according to firefighters, they, quote, took immediate action. They jumped into the water, first rescuing the dog from underneath the overturned boat, then rescuing the boater, bringing them onto his vessel, and then taking him to the docks. According to Fox 61, EMS evaluated the boater on the scene. Officials did not report any injuries to the boater or to the dog. The overturned boat eventually brought to the dock as well, where it was secured, and everything wrapped up about an hour and a half after the call was first reported. So in the right place at the right time, willing and able to do the right thing for a man in need and man's best friend, that anonymous Good Samaritan there in Connecticut, we thank you for your very, very good deed. All right, that is going to do it for this edition of Bearing Arms Cam and Company, and I want to thank you for being a part of the program as always. Hopefully, next week, we'll be talking with the head of that new organization there in Missouri, the Constitutional Sheriff's Association. I'm sorry, let me make sure I get that right. The Missouri Sheriff's Constitutional Firearms Alliance. There you go. And I know that we'll be talking about the latest Second Amendment news and information. Of course, you can get that when you go to bearingarms.com as well. Each and every day, keeping you up to date on the latest news impacting your right to keep and bear arms. And if you like what you see, I'd encourage you to become a VIP, VIP Gold, or VIP Platinum member. Just use the promo code FIGHT when you sign up, and you'll get 60% off your membership. You will also get all kinds of great perks and benefits, no matter what tier of support you choose. And again, no matter what tier of support you choose, we really do appreciate you doing that, because your support helps us keep bringing the truth about our right to keep and bear arms. Have a great rest of your week, everybody. We'll see you soon. Until then, be well, be safe, and be free.